Let's move on to Tim Hinkle, who is the final competitor for this fight.
Lonely lad, a lion in wait for an easy meal. Grab a bite and cup a feel. Haven't you heard, huh? That's the deal. Since we've been kings, of course you had to turn him down when he'd persist. Call him a clown. He chased you half across the town when you drew blood. The wound still stings. Off your pine, stand firm in your coat of needles. It's needless persecution you defy. Oh, porcupine, this discord penetrates my mind. It's but small hope for tomorrow I descry.
When I was listening to this, I just saw in my mind's eye big-eyed children paintings from the 60s.
I wondered if the chord structure of this song was chosen at random. That's because it really seems like it keeps you guessing in a bad way. Like, there's no rhyme or reason to where the song's going. That was my take on it anyway.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't notice that. I felt like, I mean, it was not mixed well, right? And so it made it really difficult to listen to for me.
And I would listen to like a normal song and like, oh, okay, yeah, that chord makes sense. Oh, yeah, that chord makes sense. And you can start almost anticipating what the next chord is going to be. To their credit, I didn't know what the next chord was going to be, but it was also like, oh, really? That one? That? Really? How do those even connect? Like, what's the deal there? I would say that, you know, the singing wasn't terrible.
Yeah.
The arrangement was inoffensive, if not a bit boring. But not much of a rhyme or reason to what was happening. Otherwise, I didn't think.
Yeah. I might have a little more appreciation for the lack of predictability in this song.
Sure.
Yeah. One thing I will say about it, though, is that that drum machine is particularly soulless.
Yes.
It's really just... And then also...
Definitely.
Yeah. I think that the instrumentation got a little monotonous. Like,
yes.
Again, more dynamics would have helped.
Yeah.
And like, what was up with that xylophone or this glockenspiel or whatever it was? It like hits just a handful of times throughout the song. It just comes in and you're like thinking like, oh, okay, that's going to provide something for the chorus. And then, but no, it just hits once and then it's nothing for another four measures. So very, very odd. And I think, again, dynamics would have helped it a bit. But I still like the song a lot anyway. You know, I love Tim Hinkle's melodies and that chord progression I thought was... you know, where it put Glenn off, I thought it was interesting and different. And again, I liked hearing something that I wasn't expecting that way.
I mean, it's nicer than hearing like the same four chords over and over. I will give it that. But it's just, I never really quite got where they were trying to go with it. It's like, why did you choose those? I don't get it.
I bet I can pick four chords that you don't want to hear together.
Oh, yes, you certainly can.
I thought the phaser sound was a bit relentless. Like, and I'd wondered if, like, did he just put a phaser on a harpsichord? Oh, wait, that's just a really chimey guitar. But yeah, like, that phaser sound goes throughout the entire song, and I got a little tired of hearing it after a while.
Yeah, I think, like, a lot of the whole thing with the arrangement or the production choices is that the song basically stays at one level through the whole thing, right? Like, you don't feel like there's... a build or anything going from a verse to a chorus. You don't feel really, maybe this is related to the way the chords work, because normally, like, you think about everything as like a one or a five, right?
Yeah.
In terms of function, you have tensions or you have home or tension. And when there's sort of like everything's sort of random and it's sort of like all that way, you don't know how to feel at any point. Like, the music isn't telling you how to feel. And maybe that's part of why this song's maybe a little disconcerting in some ways.
Thank you for putting it in words what I was trying to get at.
Well, you were using words too. I mean,
just the wrong ones.
No, they were pretty good. I mean, you know, like, because I think about it in terms of, like, you know how, you ever read that article about Get Lucky, the Daft Punk song? I forget what the name of the guy is who wrote it, but it was on some relatively well-known magazine where he was analyzing it musically. There's only four chords in it, and he was basically analyzing it as a song that has no one chord.
Huh, interesting.
Right, so he's saying it's a Dorian, like, what is it? It's B minor, D, F sharp minor, and E, right? So if you have your two major chords of D and E, it suggests to you that it's an A. But the first chord of it is B minor, and you never have an A. So he's suggesting that it's like
actually, a modal vamp or something?
It's actually Dorian.
That
the song actually tells you that it's Dorian, because it never has a one chord, so it never resolves to something that's home. F sharp minor is, of course, the six, so that's a substitute for a one chord, and that is the closest that it comes.
Oh, but
it's
right.
Not really,
it's in the tonic really, family.
Right. It's not really quite the same thing as actually going to a strong one chord resolution, right? But I didn't feel like it was like that kind of song either.
I told you that Mo knows harmony and music theory. He definitely knows his music theory.
I almost feel like Glenn wrote the song "Today Is a Song" just to complain to me.
The thing about that Daft Punk song that I remember is just, isn't it Nile Rodgers who's playing guitar on that?
Yeah,
and he's got that really incredible sort of skanky Fender single coil pickup sound.
Yep. He plays, his guitar is a hardtail. I think it's a 72 maybe or 73 hardtail Fender. Actually, I think it's like every other really good Stratocaster that's been through history, it's a parts caster. I think it's like a neck and a body from different years.
And it's sort of like on every famous disco song ever recorded.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, what did they count? They said like $2 billion worth of music went through that guitar. You know?
Wow. There you go.
Yeah. Because he's on all those big Madonna hits, all the big Duran Duran hits.
Oh, and like, Let's Dance.
Notorious.
Yeah.
And oh, Bowie did that.
No
album.
Big. No big.
Yeah.
Just Bowie.
Plus all the Chic stuff. Plus all the, like, Sister Sledge, We Are Family.
Oh,
that's a Nile Rodgers and Bernard Edwards song. You know, like, they wrote that stuff for everybody, and then they recorded it all. Actually, that's another funny story, because apparently the label didn't really want to do that song, and they wanted to... if I remember correctly, which I might not be doing right off the top of my head, but it was something like Nile and Bernard were like, no, we're doing this song. Just give us anyone. Just give us anyone, and we'll make that song a huge hit. And so they were like, okay, take these girls, because we don't know what to do with them. And they were like, perfect. And they gave them that song, and of course it's the huge hit that we all know.
Family, yeah. We Are Family, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And Bernard is the bass player, right?
That's right. One of the grandfathers of hip-hop in that respect, right?
Oh, because he's really sampled?
Yeah, like that Good Times bass line.
Oh, yeah, right.
Boom, boom, boom.
Oh, because that's in the Sugar Hill Gang song.
That's right. To the hip hop, you don't stop.
You don't stop.
But yeah, anyway, all I was trying to get to is like that's a particular song where the lack of a tonal center like makes sense. It's like deliberate. It's intentional.
Right.
And I don't know if that's the same thing with this song. Like, I can't tell if it is.
All right. I think we're wrapping up. we are done with all of the songs.